B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
I was ready with Sheerness right here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Howie spoke today. He said no plans on making other big splashes in free agency. And the other highlight today is he said that Jalen Mills is a positionless player. A positionless player? Jalen Mills? Really? All right.
I would say no.
That's what they would say. They would say otherwise. So, all right. Interesting.
So, what is he going to be? Malcolm Jenkins 2.0?
Crazy.
I don't think so. Another strange takeaway from Howie is that they didn't get offered the same deal that the Cardinals were offered for DeAndre Hopkins, which I don't understand really.
Really?
Yeah, I don't really get that.
Why would they be offered more?
I don't know. Again, the Cardinals gave up nothing.
They
gave up David Johnson a second and a fourth.
I mean, it's not like they're a conference team, right?
Right, exactly. Hmm. So, I mean, I don't understand that.
That's weird, to be honest with you.
I don't know how much I buy it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know how much I buy.
I think the whole world.
I
think the whole world was shocked that the trade happened.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to say how he was caught sleeping, but like, I mean, yeah. I don't know.
I know.
He was caught sleeping.
Yeah.
I think the whole world was caught sleeping.
Yeah.
Nobody was expecting that move.
I agree. Bro.
There wasn't like rumblings out of Houston. They're trying to trade DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, hey, he's going to the Cardinals.
Yeah, I agree with you. Oh, I'm with you. All right, let's get back to the phone lines. Marty in Delaware is back. Marty?
Hey, Bellwolf first. I understand. I want to listen to the legend.
Thanks, buddy. He was great, buddy. Yeah.
It's great hearing Bell on a beautiful day like this, even though there is no opening day.
I know, man. I can't believe it. It's so sad. It really is.
Yeah. What I was about to say before you could go on, I'm a little bit of a White Sox fan, and I ended up going down to Baltimore a few years back, and I ended up seeing John Kruk's last game.
Wow, did you really?
Yeah,
it was
actually funny. Kruk was in the lineup, but not Thomas. And all of a sudden, Kruk gets a base hit, he gets replaced, Thomas comes in. And we're like, what's going on? What happened? We go home, put on Channel 6, tired. So he was pretty much home before even the game ended when he retired.
Oh, my God. You got to be kidding me. Check that out.
It was funny. But, yeah, I'm just getting back what you were saying. Today could have been 3-for-3 and all that. And,
I know.
Unfortunate day, but we all understand what's going on.
Yeah, amen, bro. I know. What a monster. It would have been incredible. Incredible. Anyway, listen, brother. You be safe. Great to talk to you. Thank you. I appreciate it, Marty.
Not a problem,
did
Anthony.
Did you give me your favorite Philly and your hated Philly?
No, not yet. I didn't get to it. But we just came right on when I was hopping on.
Okay. Well, give it to me if you don't mind.
All right. Baseball is just tireless. That's the reason why I love it. I mean, you can play games inside of a game of baseball. You can play home run derby. You can play base runners. You know how you're in the middle of a pitch.
Run the bases, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I love run the bases.
And then you were saying the five senses? Me, it's just hearing the game. The crack, the bat, the ball hit in the mitt. Hearing that freaking cotton candy guy through the radio, hey, cotton candy here.
Yeah.
Years and years.
Yeah.
And then missing, hearing HK just broadcasting the game. And another sad thing about not having any opening day, I mean, today is Harry Callis' birthday. They would have done a soundbite from him just from opening day.
Without a doubt, man.
Oh, and real quick, the memorable game, I had two quick ones. I'm a father of a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I took my son to his first Phillies game. I think it was the Super Bowl season when they played. It was actually playing Kansas City. The Eagles were playing Kansas City. I was watching the Oakland A's game. And for years and years, I've been going to the vet, going to CBP. You couldn't even see me waving my hand at the big jumbotron. But the first 7 innings of the game, my son right there, all blue lip and all, with the eating cotton candy right on the fan of vision. I was like, "He little dog."
That's great, man. That is cool. And that is very good.
And my other memorable game is just me as a fan. I went to see Phillies and Mets, and it was the game that Aaron Rowan would face first into the wall. And he saved so many runs in that game, just making that catch. And that's
people
was one of my memories.
Aaron Rowan, that's a great name from the past. People loved him. Oh, my God. Because of that, banging into the center field wall. Great stuff, brother. Thank you, man. Appreciate that, Marty. I know you probably loved Aaron Rowan, Junis.
You know what's funny that you say that? Because I kind of didn't. Like, I love that play, obviously.
I'm surprised. I pegged you for a Rowan guy.
I didn't realize how incredible of a season he had in 2007. Because really? I remember more so the 2006 Aaron Rowan, where he was a 260 hitter. And I'm pretty sure that's when the catch happened. And that's why everybody loved him. And I was like, well, he's still not that great of a player. 07? I was actually talking about this with the bro a few weekends ago. He hit over 300 in 07. And he had 27 home runs and 89 RBIs.
Did he really?
I didn't know that. And then he actually got MVP votes that year. He was an all-star. And I do remember the all-star game. I'm pretty sure he made the last out in the all-star game. And I was like, damn, man, you made Philadelphia look bad. But and then he ends up signing a big deal with the Giants and doesn't really do anything with San Francisco. He balled out in his contract year, goes to the Giants, doesn't really play all that well. So, but he was sort of that like bridge to Victorino, really.
Yeah, I remember having shows where we argued Victorino versus Rowan.
Really?
I was a Victorino man.
The Flying Hawaiian, I was too. That's why, like, I don't know. Like, I didn't know. Maybe that's why I didn't really like Rowan growing up, but I didn't realize how good of a season he had in 07.
Yeah, he was tremendous, man. I mean, he really was. He was a great player. I'm talking about Victorino, but yeah, that year you're right. Rowan did have a good year. I don't know. I always thought we overrated him because he would bang in the wall.
Well, yeah, and I mean he only had two seasons over 20 home runs, and that was 07 was one of them, and then again his final year or no second to last year with the White Sox, where he had 24 home runs.
All right, let's go to Ryan. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Ann. How's it going?
What's up, brother? What's happening?
Just out here working, you know. I work for a utility company, so we're still out and about, you know.
Keeping the lights on, baby. Thanks, brother.
Yeah. So just want to thank you guys for, you know, giving me something to listen to, at least trying to come up with some interesting stuff to talk about when there's nothing to talk about. So.
Ah, thanks, buddy. We were here for each other.
Yeah. So today with opening day for baseball, you know, it's really going to suck. I hate even when the Philly season's over if they don't make the playoffs, because I love having the baseball game on every day, you know, something to watch just about every day for months. You know, it's nice.
I know, man. Today, how about today? Today would have been ridiculous, right? We would have had full slate of baseball, Phillies, Marlins at 4 o'clock. We would add the Flyers, Red Wings at 7:30. We would add Sixers, Bulls at 8:00, and you know, 4 NCAA Sweet 16 games.
Yeah, that's
that
crazy.
Nice, man. Damn.
I know.
Hey, man, let me give you the Phillies 5. Would you do that for me?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, here you go. Give me what you love most about baseball.
I love probably like what I said, that there's a game on every day. I love the.
Yeah,
American aspect of it, of everyone, you know, it's a little more of a family oriented, you know, experience, I think, than, you know, taking your little kids to a Birds game or something where it can get a little crazy, you know. So I like that aspect, and I like just, you know, getting home from work every day and being able to have a ball game on while I, you know, drink a beer or whatever, you know, every day. It's nice. It's, you know, it's nice.
So give me a game that is special to your heart that you want to relive.
So I never got to see a Phillies game at the Vet. My first game I went to, I think I was like 10 years old, and I went to first season 04 at Citizens Bank Park, and the Phillies weren't really that good then, but it was really special to me, not just because it was my first game, but because the Phillies shellacked the Rockies that day, 15-0, and Randy Wolf had 2 home runs in that game.
I remember that game, yes.
And I couldn't believe it. I was a little leaguer at the time, and I couldn't believe that the pitcher hit 2 home runs and that the Phillies, who normally weren't winning, were killing the other team. And I remember going to that game, and that's probably my favorite game, even though I've been to a lot since then. That's probably my favorite game I ever went to.
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great one. Give me baseball through the senses. Which sense stands out the most?
Probably just because the food is such an aspect of baseball more than the other sports, because it's a little more of a relaxed environment. People don't really mind going and getting something to eat during the game. So there's always food around, and it's hot out, so the smell really carries, you know. And you can smell, you know, you could sit in the, when you're at the ballpark or even near the ballpark, you can just smell all the different foods and all the different, you know, stuff that's all around you. It's everywhere, you know.
Give me your favorite Phillies gear or, you know, tchotchke, something about the Phillies.
It wasn't my first game, but I think it was my second game I ever went to Citizens Bank Park. Maybe 05, I got one of those, the Philly Fanatic dolls. I remember they came out with, they're the plush, you know what I mean? And, I remember I bought them right when they first came out, or, you know, I think my grandfather actually bought it for me. Obviously I was like 11, but, yeah. And I actually ended up on the TV for about 15 seconds. You know, my grandparents at home saw it, and I had, you know, buying one of those Fanatic dolls I still have around my
that's
house.
Great. I bought one for my niece, I'll never forget. All right, lastly, real quick, give me your Phillies, the Philly you love and the Philly you hate the most.
This is tough. There's so many. I love probably Chris Coast, because of the story, the whole story behind everything.
People love Chris Coast, yes.
And, you know, how much he went through and everything, becoming a major leaguer. And, you know, not just a major leaguer, but he was a good player for the Phillies. I mean, I think he hit almost 30 homers or 30 home runs that one season. He was batting almost 300, you know.
People loved him. Yeah, he was a backup catcher. But, no, I hear you. I love it. And what about... who's the guy you hated the most?
It's tough, but there's so many. But I probably go, I guess I can't go J.D. Drew because he never really was a Philly. But I guess Dominic Brown.
There you go, Brown. I agree. That's a great one. Brother, thank you, man. I appreciate the call. That's hysterical. Dominic Brown. Oh, that year. He had that 6-week period, Chunas. Oh, my God. We thought Don Brown was it. What do you remember most about Don Brown and why he was hated?
His uppercut swing. Oh, why he was hated? The Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, he was a Cowboys fan. That's the greatest. That's a trivia question someday, Chunas.
I like that.
All right. 610-632-0975. How you join us coming up. What are we doing, Chunas? Coming up.
Oh, playback action.
Yeah, let's relive a great Phillies victory of the past. It's the playback coming up next. You don't want to miss it right here. Cuz Radio with the Chunas on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Judas, let's get it started, right? Put us in the mood. Today's playback, we're going to go way back. October 13th, it's a red October, 2008, the Phillies looking for their first World Series. The city of Philadelphia starved, championship starved. We talk about the drought, the 100 seasons, no championship. Who would break the drought? Oh, these Phillies. They look good, right? 07, they make the playoffs. They get bounced early by the Rockies. But they come back another big year in 08, and this is it. This is going to be the run. And here it is, Phillies and Dodgers. The all-important game four, Judas. Phillies have a 2-1 lead in the series. Our good friend Joe Buck, he's just all over this. Yesterday, I forget the days. Joe Buck and Tim McCarver on the call for Game 4 in Los Angeles. Give us a little scene setter, Judas.
And now welcome to the broadcast booth, everybody. I am Joe Buck, Tim McCarver, Ken Rosenthal, Chris Myers are all coming up. Well, the Dodgers got exactly what they needed here last night. They got a very well-pitched game from Hiroki Kuroda. They banged out runs early. They got a 7-2 win. They're back in the series down 2-1, but there were a lot of fireworks in last night's game with the knockdowns and the benches clearing. Tim, do you think we're beyond all that as we point our way further into this NLCS?
I do. I think Major League Baseball has handled this very shrewdly. They fined 7 guys in uniform after last night's game. I do not believe that warnings are going to be a problem tonight, and I think it's going to affect Joe Blanton, the starting pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies, because he's so wild, and Derek Lowe, on the other hand, is a great control pitcher.
Wow, I forgot. Derek Lowe for the Dodgers. He was a Red Sox, if you remember.
Yep, sinker baller.
Yes, kept the ball down low. But if that ball crept up, it would go a long way. And when he got hit, he got hit. And look, it didn't take the Phillies long to get on the board. Jimmy Rollins. Ah, the bright lights. Jimmy leads off the game with a single. And then Jason Worth follows with a single. Runners on the corners. For Chase Utley, you are the man.
Lowe wants a strikeout. Utley trying to put the Phillies on top. And that's a fair ball down the right field line. In to score is Rollins. Going to third is Worth. Into second is Utley. And it's 1-0 Philadelphia. What a start.
The Philadelphia Phillies starting tonight like the Dodgers started last night. Rollins scoring the first run of the game and going to the well once too often. Another breaking ball poked between Loney and the bag at first base, and the Phillies strike first.
Wow. Phillies on the board. They weren't done yet in the top of the first, because you know who was up. The Peace, Ryan Howard.
And now Ryan Howard, who has done that in his career, 2-for-19 against this Dodger right-hander. As runners on at second and third, nobody out. And he grounds one to the right side. It's booted by DeWitt. He still gets the out, and in to score is Worth. It's 2-0. So Howard made it look easy, hit it right into the defense, but made contact, drove home the run, and that's his first RBI of this NLCS.
That was the move, right, Judas? Just get the run home, whatever it takes.
Part of the reason why I love baseball so much.
Yes.
You can just hit a little dribble to second base, but you're going to get a nice round of applause. Your teammates are going to give you high fives. You got the run in.
However, Phil's led 2-0, but Joe Blanton had yet to throw a pitch. Fat Joe comes in, and while Joe was strong for the Phillies down the stretch, he wasn't in this game. James Loney up to the plate. Rafi Furcal on second. Manny on first. Blanton has an 0-2 count, but he can't get the job done.
James Loney is 9-for-26 in his career in the postseason. He's in the hole 0-2, so Blanton could reward his manager, Charlie Manuel, for putting Manny Ramirez on, striking out Martin, and then taking care of Loney, who he has set up. In the air to center field, well hit over the head of Victorino. Off the wall. One run scores. It's 2-1. Pounded by James Loney.
Loney hammered it, missing a home run about 4 feet. Furcal scores easily. And Larry Bowe, the third base coach, holding Manny Ramirez up. Had he not, he'd have been out at home plate.
How awesome is that?
Good work by Larry.
LB saving it at AB. Oh, that's great. I was not a Joe Blanton fan, were you?
No, not really. I mean, I was kind of like, I guess, excited that they made the trade for him.
Yeah.
From Oakland. But it's like, when they made that trade, I was like, okay, you know, this is a legit team. They tried to make that one last move to sort of better their rotation.
Yeah, I mean, this was, it was a good move.
I mean, we'll always remember the home run that he hit.
Right.
No one will ever forget that. And he pitched well in that game, in that World Series game.
But I'm not, right.
I didn't have the Blanton jersey.
Yeah, I didn't know, but some people love the Blanton. Now, in the bottom of the third, Phil's still up 2-1. Blanton is in another jam. Loney on first. Russell Martin on third. There's two outs. Blake DeWitt at the plate. Here's Joe getting out of the jam. But things almost went bad.
Last night and tonight, Blake DeWitt has been up in some key spots. He delivered last night in the first inning with two out. A three-run triple. He lined out with runners at second and third, two out in the first inning tonight. He could tie it with a hit. And he pops it up. Left side. Rollins can't see it. Burrell does, and he puts it away. That was a tense moment there between those two. Tough to find the baseball in the sky here tonight. Two more left. Five of the night for the Dodgers. You trail by one after three.
You remember that?
No, I don't.
Yeah, it was close.
I do not remember that moment. MLB, the MLB on Fox music is underrated, in my opinion.
I agree. I'm with you. I'm with you. I like the Fox baseball music. All right. Phil's bat's silent, man. They're struggling. They got a couple straggle hits, but never really a rally on low in the Dodgers. On the other hand, Blanton, jam after jam master. And then finally, in the bottom of the fifth, Manny makes him pay.
A visit from Rich Doobie before this matchup between Blanton and Ramirez. Blanton has walked him twice, once intentionally, once unintentionally. But he's been careful, and now he's going to have to come after him.
It's first and second, and nobody out for that game.
Ramirez, in his history against Joe Blanton, has 14 hits and 25 at-bats. A 560 average with one home run and 8 RBIs. Another hit for Ramirez. Here comes Furcal. He runs through the stop sign to the plate. He's safe. Tie game.
Look at that. And he ran through Bo's stop sign there. Did you catch that?
The disrespect.
Come on, for Kyle.
He's a hate for me, by the way, for Kyle.
No, I hate him, too. I hate him for
the Braves. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Now, again, the Dodgers weren't done. Still nobody out in the inning. Runners on second and third for Russell Martin.
Coming to the plate with a go-ahead run is Ethier. It's 3-2. RBI, Russell Martin.
All right. Still on the bottom of the fifth. All right. Phillies now trailing 3-2. Charlie Manuel decides to intentionally walk James Loney. All right, because he had hurt Blant earlier in the game. Up to bat, a lefty, that Blake DeWitt. Charlie's got to make a decision. Stick with Blant or go with that lefty specialist, Scott Ayer, who was ready in the bullpen. He stuck with Blant, and it worked.
Charlie Manuel will stick with the right-hander Blanton to take on the left-handed hitting DeWitt. He's had a couple of good swings tonight. He takes a ball. He's got Ayer in the bullpen, but not making the move. I'm a little surprised. To the right side. Utley gets the out at second, over to first for a double play.
How about that, Judas?
Joe Bland goes, oh, you're shocked, Joe Buck? Oh, he turned this double play here.
I think I was calling for Scott Ayer, too.
I think we all were.
No! Get him out! Skip! Get him out! Good morning, Skip! Finally, in the top of the sixth, the Phillies offense showed a little life. Starts with a Ryan Howard walk, followed by a Burrell single. Charlie then had Victorino bunt, second and third, one out. Pedro Feliz, I love Pedro Feliz, pops out. So now it's two down, second and third, and it's Joe Torre who's got the decision to make. Does he pitch to Chooch or does he walk him to face the pitcher spot? Take a listen to what happens.
Is not productive enough to bunt runners over in that situation.
Especially since Victorino's been one of their big RBI guys.
That's right.
They took the bat out of his hands. He dropped down to bunt. Feliz, a little pop-up. And now it's second and third, two out. And Carlos Ruiz will try and rescue this inning. He's 1-for-2 tonight. This one squirts away. Martin can't find it, and this game is tied. Martin could not keep it at the plate as it squirted away. Down the line came Ryan Howard. It's a wild pitch in a 3-3 game.
Wild pitch, Chan Ho Park. So then he walks, shoots, runners first and third. The Dodgers make another pitching change. This time they bring in the left-hander, Joe Bimel. Jeff Jenkins, he's announced the pinch hit. But with the lefty, Charlie decides to go with that So Taguchi. How about what happens? So Taguchi hits a tracer.
So Joe Bimel takes over the left-hander out of the bullpen for the Dodgers. First and third, two out. And So Taguchi replaces Jeff Jenkins. So Jenkins never did come to the plate. Announced as a pinch hitter. It's up to So Taguchi. And he hits it off the end of the bat. Shallow right field. This ball is caught by Ethier. What a catch to keep it tied.
I can see the catch. Remember that play?
There's a half slide, half dive.
Yes! Yes! It was a slide. A slide by Andre Ethier. I remember sitting at Dodger Stadium watching it, and you're like, oh, that was a tough one. With Taguchi pinch hitting, that meant the day was over for Joe B. Charlie had to go to the bullpen, and he decides to go with that Chad Durbin to face Casey Blake. did work.
Bottom three in the order here in the inning for the Dodgers as Blake goes into deep left center field. At the wall, it's gone, and the Dodgers lead 4-3. Casey Blake hit 10 home runs for the Dodgers after they picked him up from the Indians prior to the trading deadline.
First home run since September 16th. A slider.
Wow. Casey Blake, that's a bust-out name, dude.
Yes, it is.
My God. All right, after the home run derby allows a double to that Juan Pierre pencil bat, if you remember from the Marlins. Then walks Matt Kemp. So two men on, nobody out. Charlie then brings in Scott Ayer to face Rafael Furcal, who is trying to bunt the runners over to second and third. But listen to what happened.
Two on, nobody out. Good speed on, great speed at the plate. This could not be set up any better for Joe Torre. The lead runner can fly, Juan Pierre. Kemp can run. And the guy at the plate's one of the fastest in the league. Howard has only one play. He throws it away. Pierre will score. The runners end up at second and third. Kemp just got back ahead of the tag.
Wow, how about an E3? Now, was it me? Or did you hear a little lament in Joe Buck's voice when Howard throws the ball away?
No, I didn't hear it.
I heard it.
So you think he was rooting for the Phillies?
I do. Let's play one more time.
Howard has only one play. He throws it away. Pierre will score. The runners end up at second and third.
Pierre will score.
Okay. I'll give it to you.
All right. Joe Buck, friend of the Phillies. E6. Phils now trail 5-3. Bottom six. Still nobody out. Ayer gets, and I'll never forget this, because Scott Ayer was not a guy you want to pitch to multiple batters. And Ayer gets Ethier to line out. They walk Manny. Then Madsen comes in. Base is loaded. This was a big card of the ball game right here. Take a listen.
Well, this would be a big strikeout for the Phillies and Ryan Madsen if they can get it. Line drive caught. Utley goes to the bag for the double play. What a play by Chase Utley to his right. What a tremendous play by Chase Utley to make the catch on the line drive up the middle. Pretty well hit by Russell Martin and then dive to the bag for the double play.
That was a huge... That double play was a big deal. No tack-on runs, and it allowed the Phillies to come back. Phils and Dodgers go scoreless in the seventh, and now we get to that famous top of the eighth inning for the 0-8 Phillies. Ryan Howard leads off with a single. After Burrell pops up, here he is, Shane Victorino, the flying Hawaiian going yard.
So Burrell is retired, 1-for-3 tonight, and Shane Victorino, who's 0-for-2 with a sacrifice punt, digs his way in. Victorino hit 14 home runs during the regular season. He has one in the postseason. Came right-handed against CC Sabathia, game two of the division series. That's driven down into the right field corner. This ball is game-tying two-run home run. Shane Victorino is tied it at 5.
Now remember, that was really a big hit. We remembered into the night. But the Victorino home run is what allowed them, I think, to win the World Series. Otherwise, it's 2-2. I think the Victorino home run is still the biggest hit in all of the 08 postseason. Because I remember they were tight. Like, it was 5-3. It was like, oh, no. And that just got them loose. What do you think of that hot take, Tunis?
I think it's strong. It's a strong take.
All right.
It's probably up there in terms of the top at-bats.
I don't think you win the series without that hit, without that home run. That lips into the bullpen.
It just gets over it.
Pedro Feliz lines out. Chooch gets a hit. And then Matt Stairs comes in. And he's going to face Jonathan Broxton. And I'll never forget this. Before the series starts, I'm talking to Charlie. And I say, dude, I go, we were just talking. He says to me, you watch. At some point, they're going to have Broxton come in. And I'm going to have Matt Stairs as the pinch hitter. And Matt Stairs can only do one thing. Hit a fastball. Take a listen.
Stairs rips one into the night. Deep into right. Way out of here. And Philadelphia gets a pinch hit. Two-run shot. And the Phillies lead 7-5 in the eighth. Added to this team by Pat Gillick from the Toronto Blue Jays. And he hits the first home run off Broxton since July of 2006.
Fastball right the pipe, and did he ever get all of it?
Chills, Judas! Into the night! Phil's now lead 7-5.
How about that, by the way? July 2006.
I know.
He hadn't given up a home run in 2 years.
That's outrageous. All right, so it's the bottom of the eighth, and this is a big inning. Dodgers had their top of the order up to start the inning. On the mound for the Phils, that J.C. Romero. And he walks for Kyle. But guess what? Ether is up. Dangerous. But J.C., tough on right-handers. This is what happens.
Here is Ether. Chopper leads Rollins right to the back for the easy double play. Two out, nobody on, and Manny Ramirez is coming up.
How about that? Charlie then brings in Brad Lidge for the four-out save. Lidge gives up a double to Manny, but then gets James Loney to fly out in the bottom of the ninth. He then retires Nomar, gets Casey Blake on a strikeout, and then Jeff Kent is up.
On deck is Kemp. The 2-1 pitch. Kent lines it to Feliz, and the Phillies take game four and lead it 3-1 as Brad Lidge gets a four-out save.
And there it was. The conclusion to an incredible day. Phillies Dodgers game four of the NLCS, October the 13th, 2008. Wow.
How about the washed up names you said in the ninth inning? Nomar, Garcia Parra, and Jeff Kent.
Yeah. Oh, I hated Jeff Kent. Oh, he was the worst. Nomar, Garcia Parra. That's amazing. Nomar. No, but how about that game was it? Because that game, they go from 2-2, anybody's series, Dodgers momentum, to 3-1, lock Phillies. Right?
Oh, yeah, huge game. Absolutely huge game for the Phils to win that one. Especially after getting blown out in game three. So if they lose that game, you're like, uh-oh.
That's what I'm saying, man. I think that was the big. That's why that Victorino home run was the biggest, because chances are the Dodgers take that series. They tie it and they got the momentum.
Yeah, I mean it's a possibility. Huge game for the Phils, and like all around, we always talk about the Stairs home run, but that entire game, I mean, it was a back and forth game, and there was a lot of big moments. The Dodgers could have blown things open a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wild, man. Well, did Chase Utley double play?
Yeah.
The line drive? The double play was huge.
If it's a couple more inches to his right, it's a base hit up the middle. He scored two runs.
And the game's over. Yeah. All right, let's go to Josh in Audubon. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Josh.
What's going on?
What's going on, brother?
Nothing much. I'm digging all the there's a great flashback because actually my memory is later on that season in the World Series. But it's not the clincher. It's actually game three. The Jamie Moyer game, our first home game. If you remember,
Yes.
So that game didn't start until after 10:30 at night.
Yeah.
Because of all the rain. So, but let me take you back a little bit because that season I had the 17 game plan with my buddy. Now we're in college, right? So it comes to playoff time and they're like, okay, where's your deposit for the playoff tickets? And we're broke. We barely have $100 in our bank accounts, you know? So we didn't buy any tickets. So we had no tickets for the postseason. Now, if you remember, the Phillies website used to do the you sign up for the lottery to get the tickets for the World Series.
Yes.
Me, my buddy, and my sister sign up for the lottery, and two of us win the ability to buy three tickets each. So, we made a pact. If anybody wins, we're all going. So we were lucky enough. We got the six tickets. So we buy the tickets with the money we have left on us. You know, again, we're like pro college kids. And we buy three standing room and three sitting rooms up in 434, all the way up at the top of the left field. So we wound up selling these standing room tickets for like $500 each, take the profits and wound up going to the game. We're tailgating all day, and then the rain starts. And if you remember that, it's raining, it's cold, and the game gets delayed 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and there was a Penn State-Ohio State game going on. So we were already in the stadium. We're flying our butts off in the concourse.
It was a Saturday.
We're watching Penn State. Anyway, we are, you're watching that game, and I remember we had Jamie Moyer, I feel like, 10 out of the 17 games. We're like, oh, of course, we're going to watch Jamie again. And we're on the edge because the series is 1-1, And we're like, Moyer, the Tampa Bay had a pretty good lineup, and, I just wasn't feeling confident going to that game. And when we were doing the playback, Sal Chunas, you were saying about how you love baseball because the dribblers, and if you remember, that's how that game ended. You had a five-man infield with Chooch at the plate and Bruntlett on third base, and it was a swinging bunt in the most perfect area. Walk-off win puts us up 2-1,
wow,
and we never lost.
That's right. That was another monster game. You're right. And, wow, that's right. The game didn't start until 10 o'clock. I remember that. Saturday night. Wow, that was incredible. I mean, because remember, the weather was just horrible.
Awful.
The whole time.
Yep.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's brutal. Great memories, man.
And talking, when you do your Philly Five, I got another one with that. I'd like to go through that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, let's do it, man. Let's have some fun with it. All right, what do you love about baseball?
I just love the social aspect of it, getting together with the buddies, getting together with the family. I mean, I grew up, I was lucky enough to have an uncle who was like a walking encyclopedia with the Phillies, and he had season tickets at the Vet four rows behind the plate. So, I mean, that's how I fell in love with it.
That's cool.
Watching all the, seeing Schilling up close, and, that was the best part about it for me. And I tell people all the time, what's cool about Philly and sports? Because everybody knows I'm a big sports fan. I said, there's about six or seven stadiums you can just take a day trip with your buddies and go, So, we did opening day in Pittsburgh 1 year and Washington
cool.
1 year.
Yeah,
and stuff like
Baltimore.
That.
Yeah. That's great, man. All right, you relive that game. That's a great game to relive. That's an awesome game, that World Series game. Give me the senses. Baseball and the senses, my brother.
I'll take it back to the Vet again. I like the sounds. That stadium, everything echoed, right? Especially when you were like a little kid like me and you wanted to get to the game 2.5 hours before when the gate opened, right, for the batting practice.
Yes.
And you the crack of the bat and, that ball, you're trying to catch the home run balls in batting practice, and you can be in the 700 level even just watching the game, and you can hear that 95 mile an hour fastball from Schilling hit the mitt, and I love the sounds of baseball. That's my favorite.
That's a great one, man. You're right. You heard that that crack of the bat would echo. Give me your favorite Phillies kind of item. It could be
so. It's actually from that game. So World Series Game 3 again. Like, it's cold, and you know, being delayed 2.5 hours in October with the freezing rain. So all of us, you know, we walked on the concourse and we went to those credit card stands. So we sign up for a credit card just so we can get a Phillies blanket. You know, and they give away the things when you sign up for a credit card.
Yeah,
so
I have
this blanket, and I love it. So I still have it to this day. And every time I look at it, it just brings a smile to my face from that game.
Oh, that's great, man. That's a great item, the Phillies blanket. Very cool. Yeah. All right, give me the Phillies that you love, the Phillies that you hated.
So it's funny because everybody's bringing up Roland, but I loved him only because that was, like, I was a little kid in the vet when he was playing some good ball. So I didn't know or even care about, you know, how he was. I loved Roland. And like I said, I was so close to the on deck circle when I go to the Sunday playing games with my uncle. And, you know, I used to love Scotty Roland. But also Bray was my guy because I'm a lefty and he was a sweet swinging lefty. As far as hate, the caller before this, you know, he did the JD Drew and the Dom Brown. And I'm like, shoot. And I need you guys to help me out here. We had a second overall pick. He was a pitcher, and he was awful, and we hated him. So then we traded him to the White Sox, and, like, he had 2 good years and even threw a no-hitter. I was like, of course. This guy stunk it up as a Philly, and then he had 2 good years. What was his name?
Oh, my God. I can picture it. Yeah. I can picture him. He was a right-hander white guy.
He was a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Number one or number two overall pick. He was supposed to be the next coming, and he just stunk it up for us.
Yeah,
I hated
him for it. And he wound up pitching decently for Chicago. You're right about that. He had a couple good years.
Was it that Gavin Floyd?
Gavin Floyd. That's it, brother. Good job, Junis. Gavin Floyd is it. Wow. Look at that. How about that, Gavin Floyd? Check that out. All right, 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Having a fun day today, talking some baseball on what would have been opening day. It's Cuz Radio with Junis on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.